let's go pop. Step back and let's go pop. Step back and let's go pop. Let's go.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Let's Go Pop, presented to you by the Pure Pop Pub. I am your host, Rich Horton, and I'm back again with another collection of tasty little power pop and pop morsels. This is the first show back in January. I had a little bit of a break for the holidays, particularly the New Year's holidays, and I hope everyone out there had a fantastic time of it, but I think it's now back to the hard work of listening to fantastic music. It's a grind, but somebody's got to do it. So this time, we're going to have a little bit of fun with, it's a bit of a theme show, looking at power pop tunes that everything, including the kitchen sink, is thrown into the production. Now, a lot of times, power pop can be, like, can celebrate the DIY attitude, and I certainly played a lot of that sort of thing on this show, particularly since you have the current crop of power pop. It really is a bare bones, scaled back kind of effort. You know, you have, you know, with the disintegration of the music industry, you've had artists kind of thrown upon taking it, everything, the production, the recording, into their own hands. So that, I mean, there are some benefits of that, right? A lot of times the music that's produced and recorded has a more intimate quality. It's not overproduced. You know, we were certainly thankful that power pop can avoid you know, the auto-tune nonsense, except maybe using it to make fun of it. So, and you know, rightfully so, you know, people enjoy that aspect of it. But you know, there's just sometimes if you look back at the history of popular music, you know, you have to notice that there's just, well, I mean, particularly from the Beatles on, right? The Beatles revolutionize the recording of albums and what they can be. And power pop sort of comes out of that tradition. You know, those tradition of being able to make a note-perfect recording. Right? Something you couldn't necessarily hope to reproduce live. And certainly, power pop artists have taken advantage of that when they've had the time, and more infrequently, when they've had the money. And I think no better example of that exists than the second album put out by the great Jellyfish in the early 1990s. And we're going to be hearing what I might consider the ultimate everything in the kitchen sink recording. This is from their album Spilt Milk. This is Jellyfish doing New Mistake.
Curtain opens, spotlights the gentleman, signing his love letter, best wishes, simpletons, dialogue, slam from his pen like Bolly Wong. Never mind. burning sins into decay.
Yeah. if she's even aware. Beg your pardon to the garden, Eleanor.
Gotta save it for her.
She looks electric and new. She made her happy, my candy-coated petting zoo. How could I want any more? How could I want any more? Waking, waking, waking with an overture from your smile.
Rose-breasted grosbeak.
Sun sawed in half. Timpani heart. taken from their Fizzy Lift album. Terrific album. Very much in the Jellyfish vein, which, of course, we started off with a new mistake from the classic Jellyfish record, Spilt Milk. And you can certainly see the influence of Jellyfish on a band like the Sun Sodden Half. There's even some similarities, I think, in the vocals, in the sound that the timbre of the voices, and you know, certainly marked a good time for music when you had bands like that being active. In between those two tracks, we heard something from Brian Scarry that was taken from an EP called Mad Valentines, and that was The Garden Eleanor. Give you a little bit of that sort of a full orchestration, a really varied sound, you know, lots of horns and lots of layering of instrumentations. But of course, you know, that isn't the only way in which you can have the big production feeling. And certainly there are other tracks that I would sort of put in that same category that maybe produces that effect, but in a slightly different way and probably a little bit more scaled down way in terms of the, you know, sheer number of instruments that they're bringing on board. Because, you know, in a recording studio, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do that. Yeah, you can hire a full orchestra, and we will definitely be hearing things that take that approach, you know, to get that big, you know, epic mammoth sound. But you can also do it in a maybe more time intensive and demanding format. You could go old school. You could go you know, back to the Beach Boys and their layering vocal after vocal after vocal in order to get that approach. And, you know, many artists take that. And you can also do it, you know, without sort of deviating too far from the sort of classic, you know, two guitars and a bass and a drum lineup. And we're going to hear something right now that I think fits that model very, very well. This is a Silver Sun, and they are doing their classic tune, See You Round.
No righteous man has the right to you. This is so real, it's true. So throw your money down, I'll see you round. You look so different, no way not tonight. I'm rocking it out, and I try so hard
so safe. You've got the numbers, but your body won't wait, and it's not even safe.
night till I floated downstream to a town they call Misery. Oh, oh, misery. Misery. Oh, oh, misery. And 1 million teacups I bet couldn't hold all the wet that fell out of my eyes when you fell out with me. Now I'm crawling the wallpaper that's looking more like a roadmap to misery. Oh, oh, misery. How can you smile and forecast weather's getting better, and you soon forget it if you let the sunshine come through? How can you smile and forecast weather's getting better if you never let it go rain all over you? And just when I thought that my vista was golden in you, 1,000 umbrellas open to spoil the view. Sonny Jim couldn't jump it. How can I be pleased when I'm handed the keys to a town they call Misery? Oh, misery. So with a mop and a bucket, I'll just say forget her and carry on scooping up where I've been weeping. The jesters will creep in to strike down the newly crowned monarch of misery. Oh,
Skylarking. That's XTC, 1,000 Umbrellas. Very much the, I don't know, just a touch of Eleanor Rigby and the use of strings in that gorgeous little song. Before that, we heard Christian Hoffman, Gaper's Club, from his quirky record, Earthquake Weather. Easy for me to say. You know, it's funny, I obliquely made reference to Christian Hoffman last time around, although I realized only later that I didn't actually say the man's name, so, oops, but it's been rectified now, by playing it. Certainly, he's somebody who's, I guess you'd say he's not everybody's cup of tea, but he's quirky and he's interesting and never boring, and that makes him, in my book, somebody to keep eye out, ear open for. And we started that set off with Silver Sun, I'll See You Around. I pulled that off of actually the single for that particular record. That's just a song that I just, it's impossible, I think, not to be caught up in. I mean, you have to be really, really cynical, really, really jaded, really, really non-discriminatory, or maybe the opposite, completely discriminatory, to actually listen to that record, even if that type of music isn't your thing necessarily, to not recognize it as, you know, unbelievably catchy and the kind of thing that just draws you in even against your will. So, a perfect example of the kind of production that I really have in mind for this particular podcast. Now, we're going to be, moving on and give a couple more examples of songs that there's just something about maybe the structure of the song itself that lends depth, that is heightened by, added to by the production of it. But really, it's in the song itself that that the grandeur of the recording comes out. It takes it from the song itself, its structure, as opposed to any of the technical things that going in to the recording process. It's not that the records themselves are not technical achievements. It's just that that isn't where it's drawing its strength from. And I got three what I think are really good examples of that. And I'm going to start with a tune from the band Splitsville, from their record Incorporated. This is the beautiful and damn near perfect. I wish I never had.
Thank you. Morning comes and you're so lonely, and you feel like you're the only one alive. Since you left, you blame yourself for all the things you never felt. How could you be untrue to yourself when nobody is watching? Your life isn't over, the clock is still talking.
This is my path.
Joey Sykes, This Is My Battle Cry, from the eponymously named album from a few years back. Hopefully there will be, you know what, that's probably somebody I need to keep an eye out for myself. I really enjoyed that record when it came out. Jason Faulkner had a hand in it as well. Really, really nice debut effort, and hopefully there will be other things coming from them. Before that, we heard the late, great Owsley, Coming Up Roses, the second time he recorded that. The song first appeared on the Semantics record, which is... I'll probably at some point play some Semantics on another podcast. Difficult album to track down, given it was a Japanese-only release. But that song's terrific in either version, although I have a fondness for the one I played here from the first Owsley record. And... kicked it off with some Splitsville there, and I just, there's something, it's got one of my, you know, one of my favorite lyrics of really any power pop song to come out in, I gotta say, 25 years now. I mean, it's been a while. I mean, that record came out a while ago, so you gotta give myself a little leeway. It's within 25 years, and I would certainly lump it in there with the very best records that I've heard during that time. As I get older, that time period's like, it's the best record I heard in the last 60 years. But, miss the days when I couldn't say 25 years because I wouldn't have been born, or I would have been two or something like that. Sadly, that's not the case any longer. That's the kind of ruminations you get after a new year barges in uninvited. I didn't ask it to show up. Anyway, I digress. I think we're going to run a little long today. I think part of that has to do with the topic. I think the songs are a little bit longer. You think of a grandiose tune, it has a tendency to demand a couple more minutes, so you don't have as many, you know, 2 minute rush to the finish tunes as you do have something that might take 4.5 minutes or so to run its course. Some more ballads, and oftentimes they take a little longer, but hopefully, you know, we're not slowing things down too much, and we're going to pick it up right now. We're going to go dive into some classic 70s power pop, and this is Cheap Trick with Dream Police.
And those rumors ain't nice. to take vacation, so let me alone. They spy on me, I try to hide, they won't let me alone. They persecute me, they're the judge and jury all in one.
Oh, she knows by now that
All right, that's Beagle. Well, it's only Pain that pulled off of Volume 4 of International Pop Overthrow, going back a ways. Just a very, very well constructed and pretty song there. Before that, we heard Dream Police from the album Dream Police by Cheap Trick, who know something. They wore out the grooves on all their Beatle records, and they picked up a thing or two. You know, I was thinking about putting this together. It was really between that and pulling off the, you know, the George Martin produced Stop This Game. Both of them have very much the same sort of feel to it. So the maybe for me at least, that was, you know, the attraction. Right? I started out my musical life as a Beatles freak, and I really found in the power pop stuff the continuation of a lot of their approach. I could never really understand why it became unfashionable. Just because the Beatles themselves, of course, are so timeless. And it's really kind of what I think about the best power pop, is there is a timeless aspect to it all. You can go back to it, and as long as you're in the mood for, you know, rock and roll, it is something that you can always get into again. Right? And the best of it is, I mean, let's face it, the worst of it is very ephemeral, right? Worst of it's just, you know, maybe a little bit of ear candy. You get a bit of an earworm, and then it plays itself out, and you don't really need to hear it again. But the best of it, I mean, captures that essence, the part of a really, really great tune that encourages you or rewards you for going back and listening to it again. And of course, you know, that's one of the things about growing up in the era of albums. It provided a context, it provided sort of a depth of experience that added to it. I think it's one of the reasons why, you know, you don't really see, I mean, to my mind, you don't see music having the same impact. It isn't that there aren't young people who enjoy music. It's not that they're not out there listening to things. But what you don't see is the level of really first-class material being produced, right? And the reason why, it isn't that the individual singles aren't good. It isn't that the individual little nuggets that they're putting out there aren't as good as anything else. I think, though, without the context and without that depth of experience, you're really getting a lot of one-dimensional tracks. I mean, it would be as if the 1960s and early 70s, if the only thing that existed from it was yummy, yummy, yummy. You know, it isn't that, you know, to slam it, I actually often have love in my tummy, right? You know, I mean, you can't live on that sugary stuff alone, right? There has to be a little depth there, a little meat on it, and you really got that. And one of the ways you did it was by having the sort of production quality, right? That allowed you to sort of explore different sounds and different moods. And yeah, it might not have been the single, right? But it was still something that was interesting. It was still something that was approachable from maybe more than one perspective, one, you know, more than one attitude. So as you aged, as you grew up a little bit, you might find something else there that appeals to you. I certainly found that in Beatles records, right? There were songs that I did not care for, right? I mean, even early on, I can think of you know, the cover that the Beatles did on their very first record, you know, of Anna, Go to Him. The song did not do anything for me when I was, you know, 15 years old. You know, it was whatever. It was something, you know, on the way to Twist and Shout, right? Now, I consider it one of the great records ever made. And easily, I think, the finest cover that the Beatles ever recorded. That's fantastic. Where, you know, you have something that you know as well as I knew the Beatles, and lots of people know the Beatles really well, and yet you can still get something new out of it. And you get that through the recording, right? Through having this wealth of information that you can always dive back into. It's sonic information, right? It's working on our brains at that level. But it's just amazing when it works, when it all comes together. And that's kind of what this particular show was about, and one of the reasons I said it's going a little long today. But it really kind of gets to the heart of what's possible. Right? So, anyway, I hope you all enjoyed what you heard so far. I'm going to certainly send this out on a very, very high note. Because if when I think of sort of everything in the kitchen sink recordings, this last song is one that comes to mind very readily, and it is an example par excellence of the depth and the beauty and the power that you can get out of this type of music. And it is coming from Nick Hayward, and the tune is called, oh my God, Just Like Sorrow. My brain just froze right there. The tune's Just Like Sorrow. Like I said, and hope you enjoyed yourself, and I will catch you next time right here on Let's Go Pop. This is Rich Horton saying so long, and cheers.
I just don't have you to make something of it. Jealous monsters, cold Monday night.